success through apprenticeship. And on Sunday, our Reverend dealt with this extensively. And, you know, you agree with me that the heights of our understanding were enlightened to the glory of God. But today, we still continue, but I want to talk on hindrances to success through apprenticeship. You know, if you listen on Sunday when the Reverend was ministering, and even the upper Sunday also when Professor Okumadewa was ministering, you will realize that it is a veritable tool to progress to a lot of opportunities and business breakthrough if we handle apprenticeship very effectively. But I looked at it that there are some things also that will not allow apprenticeship to really flourish or to have results. And we'll be looking at it through the Gehazi story in the Bible. Gehazi. And so turn your Bible with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. I'll read from verses 12 and to 17. Then he said, I'm reading New King James Version. Just, then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she answered, no, my lord, man of God, do not lie to your maid servant. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elijah had told her. Let's move to 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 27. It says, therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you, that is to Gehazi, and your descendants forever. And he, Gehazi now, went out from his presence, leprous, as white as snow. Now, from that text, from chapter 4, verse 12, we saw the beauty, you know, Gehazi's name was mentioned, and we saw, you know, the relationship, the partnership was beautiful, and all of a sudden, in chapter 5, the same man that was an apprentice to Elisha ended up becoming a leper with his body white. What could have gone wrong? What made that apprenticeship kind of situation not to produce a positive result? Now, if you look at this scripture very well, verses 12 and 13, it is obvious that Gehazi was an apprentice of Elisha. And when you talk about apprenticeship, it's an arrangement in which someone learns an art, trade, or job under another. So it is obvious, it is very clear that Gehazi was learning under Elisha. So it is established that we are talking about an apprentice here. Elisha was actually seen in verses 12 and 13, if you look at it critically, it is seen that Elisha was training Gehazi consciously. He was giving him training consciously. He was deliberate about that training. Now, how do I mean? If you look at verse 12, it says, then he said to Gehazi, Elisha said to Gehazi, call this Shunammite. That's it. He's saying, okay, Gehazi, you know, you have an apprentice, you have a follower or a trainee. And then you are training him on how to go about some situations. He said, Gehazi, call that woman. So Gehazi called the woman. He said, say to her. You see, Elisha would have just said the thing as himself. But he was already training this guy. Said to her, so that, you know, they are sons of the prophets. They are learning. And he's already teaching him how to go about it and becoming a very successful prophet in the near future. He said, so, he was asking those questions. But I want to ask a question. You as a trainer, because you know when we talk about apprenticeship, sometimes you have people that are training under you. And if you are smart enough, you also look up to some people for training to become bigger in whatever you are doing. Why some are getting trained under you? So as a trainer, do you behave like Elisha? Are you like Elisha? Making sure that you give room for your apprentice to stand on their own? Are you doing that? Or do you deliberately give them opportunities to be respected by others? Or you feel you should take the glory all the time? You know, there are some leaders, they just want to take the glory. They don't want their subordinates or apprentice to shine. Some people cannot stand. You know, they can't stand to see people behind them being celebrated. In fact, I knew of a governor, it's late now, that all his appointees, in fact, there are two of them that I know, his appointees, if you praise his appointees that they are behaving well, he will sack them. If you praise his appointee, he expects that the appointee will not say, all to my governor, to my yoga. He wants the glory to still come. But if they are praising you, and you keep quiet, and you enjoy that praise, you are gone. A governor in this Southwest. So those are kind of some people that you relate with. Some people cannot stand to see people behind them being celebrated. They become jealous. Example is Saul and David. 1 Samuel 18, verses 5 to 9. You see, David was making a success of every assignment given to him and was being recognized by everyone. Now, if you look at verse 7 of that scripture, verse 7 to 9. So the women sang as they sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain in thousands and David is 10,000s. Mokoba David. Then Saul was very angry. And the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000. And to me, they have ascribed only thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul hid David from that day forward. That's a leader. David was an apprentice under Saul. But because they were pressing David, Saul became uncomfortable. Are you a leader like that? And there are so many like that. When someone that is behind you or your subordinate, even at work, some people, once their junior or junior colleague is being celebrated, they will make sure they mess your appraiser. They will make sure you are transferred to the bush, somewhere they will never be seen. Out of jealousy, out of anger, or envy. Are you like that? Or are you like Elisha, who will deliberately train you to become somebody? But you know one thing is, it is actually lack of understanding and inferiority complex that will make a man become jealous of his subordinates. It's lack of inferiority complex. It's lack of confidence, lack of understanding. Somebody is growing, you know, somebody is your junior and is doing well. You should be celebrating, you should be happy if you have understanding, if you are smart. But good enough, Elisha was not like that here. He wasn't like that. He was a good trainer. So the question is, who is your trainer? Even when we talk about apprenticeship, who is your own trainer? Who is your master? Gehazi was a man who is hardworking. If you look at those two scriptures, you will see. Because the man will say, go and call the woman. He will go. Okay, go and tell her. He will go. He was obedient, hardworking guy. Elijah kept sending him, and he didn't complain. We did not see it there that he complained. He was a man with potential. If you see verse 14, you know that, if you read that verse 14, you know that that guy had potential. And Elijah saw it in him. Some subordinates lack discretion. Some subordinates lack discretion. Some apprentices lack discretion and usually exhibit lack of wisdom. Hence, they are not considered or thought of when idea is needed or decisions are to be made. And you know, some people, they know how to complain. Oh, we missing. Anything they are disappointed, once they want to take decision, they don't call me. But did you check yourself to know whether you even have what it takes? Are you exhibiting any sign of any wisdom at all? Do you lack discretion? Or are you sure that you are a man that is given to discretion? If you lack discretion, okay, when a man, if I'm a boss, and somebody behaves in a very funny way, I will keep you aside because you are not productive. And then do you blame a leader who does not consider such people? Do you blame a leader? Proverbs 14 verse 7 says, go from the presence of a foolish man. When you do not perceive him in the lips, when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge, go away from him. He's a foolish man. Why do you want to keep a foolish man? Every idea he will give is rubbish. Everything he's doing is rubbish. You can't enjoy it. So even if you're an apprentice, and all you exhibit is foolishness, all you exhibit is lack of knowledge, you can't go far. You can't really take full benefit of apprenticeship. It's not possible. That's what the Bible says. It says, go away from them. Somebody who is foolish. So, when you start to check yourself, you will know whether you are acting foolishly. You know, sometimes, most people that are too full of themselves, they are the most foolish people. And they think they are the best. When you start to feel that you know more than everybody, you are the biggest fool. And to such people, if you are in an organization or you are under somebody, and all you do is you want to prove that you know all, you can't go far in that kind of relationship. You can't. So he said, go away from them. So my take is, what I want us to take from that is that we should get wisdom. That's what the Bible says, and seek knowledge. I'm saying, in all that getting, get wisdom, get understanding. So you must seek knowledge. Even when you are an apprentice, you are not supposed, okay, they are training you. And it's just like some students, you teach them in class. Once you finish teaching, they close the book until next week lecture. And then they come back again. And they say, sir, you will be asking stupid questions. Whereas the wise ones will go, after that, goes back home to read, to acquire knowledge, apart from what he has been taught. Also look for other books. And then when you come back to class, you are a better person. The oga will trust you and like you because you are adding value. Even though you are still learning under him, but you are adding value to him. But it's just like that student who is foolish. You are not adding anything. You are not reading up. You are not seeking knowledge. Please, let's change. Gehazi was considered wise enough to be engaged in strategic thinking sessions. If you read that verse 14, it says, you see, when he has said, call the woman, and the woman said, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm with my people, I don't need anything. See, the man of God now, the master, now said to Gehazi, this is a strategic thing now, they want to take a decision. He's thinking of what to do. He's not acting alone now. He said to him, so he said, what then is to be done for her? It's because he knew that that guy has something upstairs. So we can ask him a question. What can be done for him? And the guy was wise too. He told him, so. So Gehazi was not a fool at all. He was a man that can be called upon when decisions are to be made. He's a man that they can engage. Even when we are talking about some strategic, you know, thinking, it can be called. When you are at work also, there are some people, when they are taking decisions at work, they will invite them. They are junior staff, but they say, come for that meeting. Whereas there are some,
who are managers. Nobody cares about them. They just know that they are just keeping them there to just to fulfill righteousness. But when it is decision, the boss will call you pedophile. Because he knows that this guy has something. Are you like that? So in this way, Gehazi was actually someone who has something upstairs. We're talking about success through apprenticeship. But the hindrance is what we are discussing today. And we are using the Gehazi story. I said he was a man of that is, I said he was hardworking. He was a man with potentials. And the boss saw it. He had the skills or ability to identify needs. If you saw that verse 14, when the man of God, when his master now asked him, the master and this guy had been coming to that house. The master did not observe it. He didn't see. But Gehazi, that's why the man knew that this Gehazi is somebody I can partner with for success. And the guy said, look, master, this woman does not have a child. I've observed. And her husband is old. Her husband is old. So he was able to identify that. He was very observant. And in business, there is need to identify opportunities. That was what who Gehazi was. He could identify opportunities. And if you want to be successful, whether in your business, whether in your craft, you must be able to identify opportunities. Even if you are an apprentice, you need to observe trends. That's how to observe opportunities. That's how to identify opportunities. You need to observe trends. What's going on? You need to solve a problem. You need to solve a problem. And you need to find gaps in the marketplace. What are the gaps? What are the gaps? So, Gehazi was a man. If he was in business, those are the things. And the master saw those traits in him. So, if you look at this story, you will realize that Gehazi was supposed to be a very good disciple, a very good apprentice, and he was supposed to make a success of it. We could see the traits of success around him. And not only was he good, he had a master who was ready to train him and project him, you know, for other people to see. Why do you think the man was saying, go and ask the woman, go and do this, so that that woman will see that this guy is a man, is a person. You know, there's a way you treat your subordinate. There are some ways you treat your subordinate, and people that they are relating with will know that nothing soft at their desk. That they are just mumu. That they are just like robots. Whereas, some good leaders, when you send your subordinate, like Elisha, you send them with a way that people will respect them. That was who Elisha was. Are you like that? Now, when you now look at this story, I now said, and this is why I was worried. A man of that capacity, a man of that grace, who had a good man around him and everything, how come that that same man with this wonderful CV ended up with the situation in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 27? I read that again. You know, it says, therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence leprous and white as snow. So why? Does anybody have an answer? Can anybody say anything? You know, like Reverend, we always say, every answer is correct. As long as it's not against the will of God. Does anybody know why? Why will that same Gehazi not end up well? And or are we now saying that apprenticeship is bad? Even if I thought it was bad before, last Sunday I knew that it was not bad. After the message. So why would Gehazi now fall into this kind of situation? He didn't have a bad man as a leader. So it wasn't that the bad man, the leader was, you know, there are some leaders that all they want to do is to destroy you, especially when you are shining. They don't want you to shine. But that was not his situation. Why did he now end up in this mess? Why? Now, let's go back to 2 Kings
chapter 5. And then you now read from verse 20 to 25. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian. Now, what happened was, there was a leper, a correct man, a general, who came for help. Naaman, the man is Naaman, his name. And then God used Elisha to heal this same man of his leprosy. And the man wanted to pay because he was excited that I needed to give you something. But the man of God said, no, this one, we are not taking anything. Just go with your money. So here, from verse 20, Elisha, the Bible said, Gehazi now said, this guy did not take anything from this guy. He now said, look, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian. He's not even an Israel, a Syrian. He has spared him. Why not receiving from his hands what he brought? But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. So Naaman said, please take two talents, and he urged him, and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, and handed them to two of his servants. And they carried them ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, that is the tower, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Verse 25. Now he went in and stood before his master, Elisha. Elisha said to him, where did you go? Gehazi. And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. Your servant did not go anywhere. And I looked at that scripture. I saw a man that had prospects, a great future ahead of him as an apprentice. He had a good master around him. He had talents. He had the capacity to identify opportunities. He was hardworking. He was what you would think a disciple or an apprentice should be. Yet, he had this problem. And I look at it and I summarize it. That if you're an apprentice, what can hinder you from having success in apprenticeship is character. That is the summary. It's your character. You know, the Yorubas will say that, there's this saying that you can help a camel or something? You can help it to the horse, to the river, or to the stream, but you can't help the horse to drink. There are so many people today that you help. You help them, you use your connection to get them a job. That is all you can do. You can't help them to do the job. Sometimes you use all your energy, your money and everything, you help your child to go to school. You can't help that child to study. A man in this country, a popular man in this country, used his money, his own money, to send his son abroad. The son ended up becoming a gay and was boastful about it, messing up the father. There was nothing the man could do. He has sent the son abroad, but his son has chosen to mess up the name of the family. So, for Gehazi, he had the opportunity that some could never get. He had the best master to train under. He had Elisha. He had some inherent capacity that God has given to him. Hard work and all of that. But he messed this up. Character. Now, your character is your personality. Especially how reliable and honest you are. Character plays an essential role in personality development. Your character. A person with a good character finds acceptance wherever he goes and respected by all. Character. Nothing is more important than your character and moral values. Today, you see the young ones now, they are losing their morals. They are all over the world.
You see, have you not seen some people that what they post on Instagram or on social media, we hunt them later. And they'll now be saying, they'll be crying. Because they lack self-control. Character. Wherever you are, your character will find you out. 1 Corinthians 3 and 4 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, though I do everything, but I have no love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. You see, when you look at the summary of love, you will realize that when you have love the way God wants it, your character will be good. Because you will not be proud. You will not think of taking something that does not belong to you. That's what he's saying. He says, not puffed up. Does not envy. You don't praise yourself. It's all of that is in love. Character. If it is the other way, and look, if Gehazi had the love of Christ, the love that the way God puts it here, you will realize that he will think about that he's Syrian, that since the man had got that opportunity, I will not take what does not belong to the man. I mean, what does not belong to me. I will not take what belongs to that man. Let the man be blessed. He wouldn't do that, but he messed it up. What characters did we identify in Gehazi? He was greedy. I wrote it here. He was greedy. Greed. Greed will fail you. Greed will bring you down. I know a young man in Ibadan here who was doing well as an apprentice of a spare part dealer. Cars and motor spare part. Sometimes ago, I called to ask after him and was told he had issues with his boss and had been sent back. He just lost that opportunity. Why? It had to do with money. He was trading behind his master. And he sacked him. Character. Greed. He could not see the bigger picture. Gehazi couldn't see it. Even a student is an apprentice. Unfortunately, many are not ready to go through the process, but are willing to cut corners. They can't see the bigger picture. You know, when you have a student, for instance, what is in their mind is just to pass the exam. So, some of them will cheat to pass the exam. Some of them will just cram to pass the exam. Not to learn, not to understand. So, afterwards, when you now face the reality of life, they can't stand. Because while they were studying, they did not have the bigger picture. If Gehazi knew that he could get double portion of Elisha's anointing and be the Lord over so many kings, he wouldn't have taken anything that does not belong to him. Bigger picture, he couldn't see. Gehazi was more interested in the prophets in apprenticeship and not really the knowledge in it. It's the prophet of now that he was interested in. Someone wrote, and I quote, when you start a business, don't be in a hurry to get to the top. Be in a hurry to learn the business. Results happen over time, not overnight. Work hard. Stay consistent. Be patient and never give up. Gehazi was not patient. To be successful, patience is required. Psalm 40 verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. I waited patiently. When you're in business, Pastor said it last week, some people cannot, they can't stand, they can't stretch themselves. Impatience. And one thing also that is very obvious in his life, we're talking about hindrances now, is that he was a liar. A liar. He lied to Elisha. He lied even to Naaman. He lied to Elisha after he asked about what he did. Someone said also, tell a lie once, and all your truths become questionable. Just say, once they identify that you lie once, every truth that you have been saying is questionable. They can't trust it anymore. They can't trust your truth anymore. And it will have effect over you. It was not resilient like Elisha. If you read, when you get home, read 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 4 to 12, you will see, Reverend read it on Sunday, you will see that even when the guy, when Elijah was saying, Elijah, I can't, no, please stay here. I'm going to Jericho. I'm going to this. He said, I will go with you. I will go. Until then, the guy said, what do you want, sir? You are so resilient. He said, give me this double portion. The guy knew what he wanted, and he would go all out to get it. So, if you are an apprentice, you have gone to train. How far can you go? How can you go through? Can you suffer? Can you, for a short period, to acquire what you want to acquire? Some people, you give them the opportunity, you employ them, and they can't even bear any pain. And they will be acting as if they are the owner of the company. You mess up. Pride. Elisha was not proud at all. He was humble enough not to feel used and cheated by Elijah. Pride will fail an apprentice. And one thing I saw also, I need to be ranking up, is that Gehazi prefers popularity than understanding the real work. He lost popularity. In fact, in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 4 to 5, the king, that is after, you know, he's been sent out, he's been sent away. But the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, tell me, please, all the great things Elisha had done. He was quick to say. Now it happened. As he was telling the king, he was quick to tell the king, because, you know, he was enjoying that attention. Then the woman that was the case study also came. You know, she had left before that time. She had left after some time. She had to come back. They've taken her house. She was coming to beg, you know, to get her house back and all that. That's the woman. So, that, you know, there are some people, they just want people to know that I know. Some people, before you ask them, you go, I'm home now. In fact, I know some people that they just drop names. They just drop names. That's when you hear, Honorable Chairman, my dad. Sometimes it doesn't help your case. An apprentice who talks too much will not go far. He will usually talk to the extent of revealing the master's secret. And no master will like that. I put it in, you are working for me, or you are working under me, and all you do is to just reveal secrets. I will keep things away from you. You are not reliable. So you must learn not to talk. It's not good. James 1:19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I want to conclude. 2 Kings chapter 4, 29 verse to 31 says, then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. That was the story that, you see, the child that Elisha prophesied that they will have came. And the child was now sick and died. So the woman ran to Elisha and said, did I tell you to give me a child? Now, see this mess and all that. And he said, Gehazi, oh yeah, go. Go to that guy. Go to the child. Take my staff and go. You know what struck me there? Is that the Shunammite woman, if you read that story to verse 31, the Shunammite woman knew who Gehazi was. She had observed him. She refused Gehazi's being the one to attend to her son. She knew that this guy was not like this other man. He had issues. So, brethren, watch out. People are watching you. Whatever you are doing in secret, you are being watched. So people will know. They know, and God knows who is. They know. They watch you. But even when the woman now says, if you don't go with me, I won't go. As your soul liveth, I must go. If you must go with me. Then Elisha agreed to go with him. I mean, with her. To meet that child. You know what happened? Gehazi ran. After the master had said, let's go, he now ran. He wanted to perform it. He wanted to prove a point. He ran ahead. Do not try to outshine your master. In apprenticeship, do not try to outshine your leader or your master. Don't do things to satisfy your ego. Remember, life is nothing without ethics and values. Character was what made Gehazi not to enjoy the benefit of apprenticeship.
and he messed up a lofty career. Shall we rise up? Friends, you are either an apprentice or you are a master. How are you faring? What are you doing? What has the Lord said to you tonight? How has God ministered to you? Just go ahead. You know your own area of weakness, except you are also proud. If you are not proud, you will know. Just go ahead and talk to the Lord in the name of Jesus. God bless you.